You are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Tuesday, March 15th, 2022. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the five-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, three Eastern European prime ministers head to Kyiv to ramp up negotiations with Zelensky as he hints at a NATO compromise. Meanwhile, Zelensky will address the U.S. Congress and ask for more weapons. China's COVID spikes. Lockdowns spike supply chain worries. Meanwhile, Joe Manchin sinks Sarah Bloom Raskin's Fed nomination at Big Oil's request. New poll, non-white voters feeling inflation the most. Meanwhile, wastewater tests show a potential COVID spike could be looming in certain parts of the country. CIA used black site detainee as a torture teaching tool. California Governor Newsom signs a law to stop the University of California enrollment cuts. Meanwhile, Ohio Governor DeWine signs a law removing training and background checks as requirements to conceal and carry a weapon. COVID restrictions apparently prevented hundreds of thousands of dengue fever cases from ever materializing. All this and more on today's Majority Report. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. It's my great honor to welcome back to the program after her brief suspension, Emma Van Clint.
Yes, I was given the green light by Human Resources to return to work. So thank you.
I hope you learned your lesson.
Yep.
So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. She's back after a brief suspension. For, there was a little bit of sarcasm on that last day that you were on.
Uh-huh.
And
too much.
There's only so many times that we feel comfortable around here revoking commissary privileges. And then at one point you are suspended, paid leave. So there you go.
Paid leave? That's news to me.
Well, I mean,
Sam, you literally went into my wallet and took money out of it.
If we had pay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you pay to leave. Yeah. That's the way it works.
More water for the rest of us.
That's right. We went crazy with it. Drank so much water this week. It was great. The commissary. Good news, ladies and gentlemen. I got an IM from Nightmare Behind Nightmare something rotation. Sam, you sound good. I feel bad writing it to tell you about the audio only when it's bad, so I figured I'd offer a compliment today.
Ooh.
Well, much appreciated. We have worked out some of the bugs that were here at the beginning of the show yesterday. We've also worked out some of the problems that we have, I think, with guest audio. We had none of those problems yesterday. And the one thing that we're ultimately going to test, and maybe we can test that with Nomi when she shows up later in the program, what happens if we start cross-talking? Because we've had this problem in the past where my audio ducks underneath the person that mm-hmm. I've been having a debate with. And that's how that guy from that movement, the Birds Aren't Real movement on Friday, which you missed, there is some folks out there who believe that he got the upper hand in that argument with me about the existence of birds. And of course, I think everyone is familiar with the theory that all the birds in this country have been killed and systematically replaced by flying drones, which are monitoring everything that we do.
It's the same technology that killed and replaced Avril Lavigne, for example.
I was not familiar with that.
Yeah, I mean, I should have talked to the Birds Aren't Real guy. Maybe give him some more ammunition in this debate against you.
Well, he didn't need it. He didn't need it.
Do you know who Avril Lavigne is?
I'm pretty sure. Pretty sure I do. She's a singer.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
So there you go. I've heard the name before.
Okay.
If she was literally sitting where you are now, I would be asking Matt, like, who's that? But I know the name, and I know she's a singer.
Mm. Yes.
I'll tell you the story later.
Actually. Okay.
I ran into an old friend, Michael Showalter, who is apparently very successful director.
Hmm.
And the only movie I knew that he had directed was I'm the Baxter, which was from, like, he goes, that was like 14 years ago, and it almost killed my career. And I was like, oh, I mean, what are the other things that you've done? And he named like a couple of movies that apparently
extremely successful.
Had Academy Awards. And I'm like, oh, dude, that's great. And I think he thought I was messing with him.
Mm.
And
this is very reminiscent of your Bradley Cooper story, but
yeah. all right, let's get into this.
This is
pretty amazing, and in some respects, I got to say, a little bit scary. The prime ministers of Poland, the Czech Republic, and Slovenia are going to be meeting with Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, today in Kyiv. And Kyiv apparently was like getting bombed through the night. I think there was a half dozen people or so who died.
Targeting residential areas, apartment buildings.
Of course, yeah. That seems to be basically, and no one seems to be refuting that. And nobody seems at this point to be shocked. This seems to be the plan. And, but it is a scary prospect. You have NATO leaders, leaders of countries that are in NATO heading to a war zone, because that opens up the potential of the Russians being able to widen this conflict. It also suggests that Kyiv still, now weeks, you could say, I think, into this conflict, is relatively safe. So we will see. But what is really interesting is what's happening, and we've seen multiple videos over the past couple of days of what's happening in Russia. This just came across the transom, as it were, a former worker, and it's unclear how she got into the studio. But this she's a formal, or maybe she's just former after she did this. I'm not quite sure, but she's a formal Channel One Russia staffer. Her name is Marina Ovsyannikova. And this is what she did in the middle of a newscast. I guess,
insanely brave.
Just, yesterday.
О том, как смягчить воздействие западных санкций, говорил сегодня Михаил Мишустин. На встрече со своим белорусским коллегой российский премьер подчеркнул, надо усилить сотрудничество в рамках союзного государства, а на совещании в правительстве обсуждали, как сохранить доступность лекарств.
And you see, they just cut away to some other clip, apparently. What was also amazing, the newscaster didn't seem to even bat an eye.
I know, right. She just kept going.
And then put up the this is the she released a recorded statement.
But it's in Russian, obviously. So this
in
is
Russian,
the translation.
The translation is what is happening in Ukraine right now. And she released this, we should say, timed with what she did on the television, because I think she probably knew that she would end up being detained or arrested. Do we know?
Yeah, well, I don't think there's information on that, but there's a law that could be used to imprison her that would allow for up to 15 years in prison. So just like to underscore how brave this is.
She wrote, what is happening in Ukraine right now is a crime, and Russia is the aggressor country. The responsibility for this aggression lies on the conscience of only one person. That person is Vladimir Putin. This is important because we saw yesterday that clip of the Belarusian president basically saying to Putin, meeting with Putin and saying to him, for the sake of domestic consumption, I would imagine in Belarus and in Russia, we had no choice here. We were really just striking back. Arena writes, my father is Ukrainian. My mother is Russian. They have never been enemies. This necklace on my neck is like a symbol for the need for Russia to immediately stop this fratricidal war. Our brotherly people can still make peace. Unfortunately, during these past years, I have been working at Channel One involved in Kremlin propaganda. I am very ashamed of this. Ashamed because I allowed lies to be told from the TV screen. Ashamed because I allowed the Russian people to be turned into zombies. We stayed silent in 2014 when all of this was just starting. We did not go to protests when the Kremlin poisoned Navalny. We just silently observed this anti-human regime. Right now, the whole world has turned away from us. 10 generations of our descendants will not be able to wash the shame of this fratricidal war. We are Russian people and thinking and smart people. Only we have the power to stop this madness. Go protest. Do not be afraid. They cannot put us all in jail. I mean, this is, it's pretty brave.
Really brave. There's a great piece in Jacobin that I'd encourage everybody to read that came out a few days ago from a Russian anti-war activist, Alexei Sakhin, again, I'm sorry for butchering it, called Vladimir Putin's War Spreads Resignation and Despair Among Ordinary Russians. And, you know, one third of Russians have a relative in Ukraine. So the suppression of the real stakes and the real immorality of this war, it can't last forever, but it's happening now for anti-war protests in Russia. And this was like an incredibly brave act, but there's a reason that they're going to try to crack down hard on her, most likely, because you have to suppress this in order to maintain a certain level of disinformation, so the war can continue.
Jack Crosby, who was on the program yesterday upon his return from Ukraine, said that he was I think he was in Ukraine and watching people call their relatives or their friends, their grandmother, I think he said at one point, in Russia, as bombs were falling. I think this was when he was in Kharkiv. And the grandmother in Russia did not believe that the bombs were there. I mean,
very similar anecdote in this piece too.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, they've basically branded it as a special military operation, and it's going to take a while for there to be cracks in that, but the cracks will come. There just needs to be persistence, obviously, but that requires bravery of people like that.
And this woman here too, she is a Russian climate activist, Vlada Zurov. Lovia, I am not doing well with that name either, frankly. She put this on a video onto Twitter. And again, you know, these in a situation where there is such a tight control on information, these type of things become highly, highly damaging to Putin's project and to, you know, as Jack said yesterday on the program, he felt that, like, he didn't think that Russian society would recover from this, and or at least as we know it. And here's this from Twitter, and it, for those, I guess, we could read it. for those who are just listening.
Hello, my name is Vlada, and before the 24th of February, I was a climate activist from the Fridays for Future Russia. Now I left my climate activism to concentrate on the anti-war action. Now I'm going to distribute anti-war leaflets, and even by this action, I have some risks to be detained by the Russian police. Unfortunately, the anti-war movement in Russia is being oppressed by Putin's autocratic regime. People are illegally detained at anti-war rallies, then fined or sent to a temporary detention center. In police departments, people are beaten, mentally pressured, and some are subjected to physical and sexual torture. We are forbidden to say the word war. Russia's actions can only be called a special operation. For the phrase no to war, you can get up to 15 years in prison. I'm very glad that I was not subjected to repressions, but I still fear for my friends in Russia who are risking everything they have to fight the horror that Putin has made in Ukraine. And I'm afraid for my friends in Ukraine, for whom every exit from the bomb shelter can be fatal. In such situations, Russians usually say that this war is Putin's fault, not ordinary people's. I believe that this war is really not my fault, but it is still my responsibility. Therefore, I want to appeal to everyone who hears me now. Journalists, give a voice to the victims of tortures in Russian police departments. Give a voice to everyone who suffered from this regime. And first of all, to the Ukrainians who simply wanted to live in peace on their own land. Politicians and activists in Europe, remember that your governments are still buying fossil fuels from Russia. Now, it's not oil that flows through your pipes, but the blood of Ukraine.
And this obviously, she's doing this in English. She's appealing, and I suspect she's outside Russia at this point.
I hope.
But doing this to, I guess, get the Europeans to cut off their oil purchases from Russia, dovetails with their climate activism, and to inspire, journalists, like she said, to go and cover what's happening in terms of the Ukrainians. We also have a clip of a woman who's holding up a sign. I think I mentioned this yesterday, but put this up. This is a simply a sign. I don't. Was this the thing that had no words on it? Here we go.
So she's holding up a blank sign.
Blank sign, and immediately for holding up a sign. Taken away by Russian police.
But this is why,
and this is happening. I've seen other videos too, where people have done similar things, and the police are just—they're there. I mean, people are doing this; they know exactly that they're going to get arrested.
We played this when you were on vacation too, like an elderly anti-war activist who was arrested, but. This is why blanket blame of Russians in general isn't just xenophobic, like that we're seeing from some in the liberal press here in the West. It's also really counterproductive because there needs to be as much outside support for Russians who are dissenting in the country that, we can possibly provide. So solidarity with the Russian left and the protesters there, because, the amount of bravery that this takes, as has been outlined already on the show, is massive.
Right. I mean, some of the things where you see, I think at one point or a week or so ago, a Canadian orchestra or symphony canceled the appearance of a Canadian. I don't know if it was a violinist. I think it was. I mean, excuse me, a Russian violinist. These type of things are a little bit absurd. It's one thing to operate a boycott for members of Russian society who are helping prop up or the Putin regime or the or are in some way aiding the invasion of Ukraine. But very hard to reconcile the idea that Putin is an autocratic leader, and also you're going to hold random Russians responsible for what this autocratic leader does. Certainly, you know, theoretically, we have far more responsibility for things like the atrocities that are taking place in Yemen and the misery that is being created in Afghanistan than your average Russian citizen has for what is taking place in Ukraine. And so people should keep that in mind. Both ends of that, frankly.
If you're going to call for people to, you know, foment a regime change for that, regime change for America maybe too, then, if you're going to be consistent.
Yeah, and we theoretically have more democratic control over these things. But speaking of which, moving on to domestic politics, the story out, this is just horrific. This CIA story in The Guardian. And they're still, you know, we are what now? 15 years out from, at least, from the understanding that the U.S. government had a full-on policy of torturing people in the wake of 9/11. And often this would happen in places like Guantanamo Bay, but it also would happen at CIA black sites. Guardian reports that a detainee at a secret CIA detention site in Afghanistan was used as a living prop to teach trainee interrogators. I mean, I don't understand, like, why we are saying, you know, you're not a trainee interrogator, you're a trainee torturer who lined up to take turns at knocking his head against the plywood wall, leaving him with brain damage. This is according to a U.S. government report. The details of the torture of Amar al-Baluchi are in a 2008 report by the CIA's Inspector General. I mean, I remember the images of the senators walking out of these classified meetings looking grim. Of course, they did nothing about it. This report, newly declassified, is part of a court filing by his lawyers aimed at getting him an independent medical examination. Baluchi is a 44-year-old Kuwaiti. He is one of five defendants before a military tribunal on Guantanamo Bay charged with participation in the 9/11 plot. But the case has been in pretrial hearings for 10 years, mired in a dispute over the legal admissibility of testimony obtained after torture. According to the Inspector General's report, the CIA was aware that the 2003 rendition of the detainee, Baluchi, al-Baluchi, from Pakistani custody to the black site in north of Kabul, was conducted, quote, extra legally. Because at the time he was in Pakistani jurisdiction and no longer represented a terrorist threat. The technique of walling was approved by the, quote, enhanced interrogation technique and, quote, guidelines sent by CIA headquarters.
Oh, so you know it's coming from a good place, right? They vetted it.
Well, it's called the enhanced interrogation technique, so we know it's not torture.
Walling, is that the knocking someone's head against the wall?
Yep.
Hmm.
It involved placing the detainee's heels against a specially designed plywood wall, which, quote, had flexibility to it, and putting a rolled-up towel around the detainee's neck. The interrogators would then grab the ends of the towel in front of and below the detainee's face and shove Baluchi backwards into the wall, never letting go of the towel, the report said. One of the interrogators, identified only by a code, said the goal was to bounce the detainee off the wall. The report noted that Baluchi was naked for the proceedings. This presumably was so that the interrogator trainees could get the full impact of what they were able to do, I guess. There was no time limit for the walling sessions, but, quote, typically a session did not last for more than 2 hours at a time.
That's a comfort. That and the flexibility of the wall, right? That's what changes it from torture to enhanced interrogation.
Typically, the session did not last for more than 2 hours. They went on for so long because Bellucci was being used as a prop for teaching purposes. One former trainee told investigators that all the interrogation students lined up to wall Amar so that the instructor could certify them on their ability to use the technique. I mean, it's at that point, if they're actually going through a certification process, it's not hard to imagine that they get certified in waterboarding. They get certified in all sorts of other torture techniques. A neuropsychologist carried out an MRI of Bellucci's head in late 2018 and found abnormalities indicating moderate to severe brain damage, affecting memory formation and retrieval as well as behavioral regulation. Specialists found that the abnormalities observed were consistent with traumatic brain injury. And the Inspector General's report also concluded that Bellucci's treatment did not yield any useful intelligence. This is what we know about torture. Amar fabricated the information he provided when undergoing EITs, that's an acronym for euphemism, which means torture, incidentally. He later admitted to his interrogators' debriefers that he was terrified and lied to agency officers to stop the measures. Amar also explained, and this is what experts in this know, Amar also explained that he was afraid to tell a lie and was afraid to tell the truth because he did not know how either would be received.
Yeah, that's what experts about torture say. It's the victim will look for whatever they can find to make the torture stop, and it doesn't mean that what's going to come out is truth.
Absolutely.
But the good thing we're the good guys, right?
How? And we should be clear. One of the people who oversaw this was John Brennan. You can see him nightly, I think, on MSNBC. I don't know if he's on nightly. The other person who did nothing about this was Gina Haspel, who was our last, was functioning? She's still there? No, under Trump. CIA director. So let's be clear. We know this happened. Our own government reported that it happened. We've known it for 14 years. And the number of people who have been, I don't know if anyone's, I mean, never mind, who have been prosecuted for this, is not only is that zero, the number of people who have been, I don't know, docked pay, demoted, is also zero. The number of people who got promotions after this, at least I think off the top of my head, three or four. Can't remember the name of the other guy. I want to say Rodriguez, one of the other guys who was associated with this, also moved up the ladder at the CIA. John Brennan, I mean, he went from counterterror. And we should say the first time Brennan was up for a position in the Obama administration, he didn't get it because people were, you know, this was fresh in people's minds. A second go around, the guy got made head of the CIA, I think it was, right, Brennan, or in this final position. And now he's just a, you know, just giving
contributor
was, yeah. Jose Rodriguez. Yes. And he moved up, if I remember correctly, as well.
So Omar al-Baluchi Baluchi is still in Guantanamo Bay. Is that right? According to his case has been in pretrial hearings for 10 years.
Yep.
So, I mean, mired in a dispute over legal admissibility of the testament. We already understand that, like, there's no habeas corpus. There's no right to a fair and speedy trial, which is supposed to be a constitutional right. So they're applied to people that, are detained in Guantanamo Bay, but people may still have zero understanding of how something like half or more were basically just innocent and were subjected to, I mean, but by the United States' standards, there are definitely more that should not have been locked up for that period of time, let alone subjected to any torture techniques, which should not be allowed. But like, there are thousands of people that we tortured and killed in this process that had nothing to do, because it was just, this is my neighbor, I have an issue with him, I'm going to report them to the United States. There was a lot of people like that.
Yeah, we offered a bounty in Afghanistan, and rival tribal leaders, or, you know, people like you say who had petty conflicts, would turn in their, you know, their frenemies or their enemies. And we held many, many men in Guantanamo. I mean, we don't really know the numbers of how many people we did this to at black sites. Somebody knows. Somebody has a good sense. They haven't done anything about it. So, you know, when people say that we have no moral authority on these topics, they're right. That doesn't necessarily mean that we shouldn't call it out wherever it happens. But I think, like, it's very difficult for people to maintain some type of righteous indignation as opposed to just pointing out the offenses. I mean, and keep that in mind. And, you know, it is reprehensible that a guy like Brennan in particular would pay no price. I mean,
Haspel was oversaw that. What was the block site in Thailand?
Yep.
That was her job for years and years. She was overseeing torture. And instead of being prosecuted for war crimes and being excommunicated from public life, she gets rewarded. CIA director. That's America in a nutshell.
Yes. And so, I don't know what else, you know, I don't know where she is now. I imagine she is, she's sitting on some board of directors of some weapons manufacturer or intelligence.
After retiring from the CIA, Haspel began advising the law firm King and Spalding in July 2021.
And who knows what?
I'm sure she's getting some sort of fat check.
And it's just a matter of time before Brennan, you know, maybe he moves on. Maybe he hosts his own show on MSNBC, or maybe goes just into straight entertainment. And
it's wild. Like, the CIA is even the spying on the Senate thing. The Senate's supposed to be a fairly high body of governance in this country. He was saying, let me assure you, the CIA was in no way spying on the committee or the Senate. And as Wyden later tweeted out, CIA broke into Senate computer files, then tried to have Senate staff prosecuted. Absolutely unacceptable in a democracy.
And so unacceptable that they did nothing. That's how unacceptable it was.
It was so unacceptable that we'll accept it all the way around.
Yes.
All the way around again.
Got right. Accept. Circles back around. Exactly. That's the way
the
that
acceptability
works.
Acceptability boomerang.
I want to talk about Joe Manchin just briefly. Joe Manchin, in addition to, I mean, if you had any, I don't know. Does anybody have any doubt at this point who Joe Manchin works for? Joe Manchin, when he's not sinking Joe Biden's agenda, when he's not preventing families from getting tax credits for the children, when he is not out there saying that we don't want electric cars, put up David Dayan's tweet first. He was out there. This is a comment that he made about electric cars.
Oh, yes.
Catherine Rampel reports that Joe Manchin said in a SB Global commodity insider thing.
Interview. Love those guys.
I'm very reluctant to go down the path of electric vehicles, Manchin said. I'm old enough to remember standing in line in 1974 trying to buy gas. I remember those days. I should say I also remember those days. I was almost, I was eight. I remember the lines. Mm. I don't want to have to be standing in line waiting for a battery for my vehicle because now we're dependent on a foreign supply chain, mostly China. Well, first off, don't wait in line for a battery for your vehicle. Although I guess there are like in Israel, they were testing out like the idea of swapping out batteries.
They have that with bikes here in New York too. So
swap out batteries. The other thing we could do is build some factories in this country.
Yes.
And deal with these issues of foreign supply chain. But what's interesting is the price of gas is going through the roof. Because we are, in some measure, dependent on a foreign market,
yeah, but
on an international market.
His point is that, no, it's time to actually just reinvest in coal, which wouldn't benefit me whatsoever. So I'm just making that point. Just because intellectually, it makes the most sense.
Maybe what we need to do is go back to that thing where you shovel the coal into the back of your into your car. You just make the trunk a furnace. And you just keep shoveling coal in there. But just in case you thought for a brief moment that the reason why Joe Manchin says something like this is just because he's an idiot or he's a little bit old fashioned. There's old fangled battery things. Like I can't even get my iPhone to charge. Joe Manchin has effectively sunk the nomination of Sarah Bloom Raskin at the Federal Reserve. There was no Republican support. Joe Manchin came out, announced yesterday that he would not support Sarah Bloom Raskin because she has spoken out about the Fed's responsibility to be hyper-focused, a regulator of sorts. The Fed, of course, regulates a lot of this stuff with climate change in mind. Now, there are a lot of people on the Fed who have said similar things. She wrote an op-ed about it. And she has been a little bit more vocal about it. And apparently, was just someone that the fossil fuel industry did not want to have on the board. Here is Senator Brown on Senator Manchin's opposition to the Raskin nomination and his ties to the fossil industry. This is a tweet. Emma, you want to?
Sure. Christian Hall, I guess, spoke to Sherrod Brown here. I don't generally question my colleague's motivation, but on this, it's so in your face. You can't not see it on Manchin's opposition to this particular nomination because of his personal investment and donations from the fossil fuel industry.
Well, he doesn't say that. That was your editorial.
Oh, yes, but, yes.
But Brown says you can't not see it. Well, you also can't not hear it. I remind you of a video that was taken. Do you have that video? This is from – what number is this? This is – from an undercover operation that was done by who did it? It was Greenpeace UK. They posed as headhunters, you know, like corporate headhunters, and set up a meeting with a former Exxon executive who was outlining what he did for Exxon and what they did strategy wise. And he said, we would do dark money into peace, nothing illegal, but we would fund, fake grassroots things, et cetera, et cetera. And we also would work the U.S. Congress. It's like fishing. He started to say, you cast your line, you see who bites, and now you know who's your fish. And he goes on to talk about who was the whale, the kingfish. as you were. Go ahead, let's play this.
Chief and say, look, we've got this issue. We need Congressman so-and-so to be able to either introduce this bill. We need him to make a floor statement. We need him to send a letter. Yeah. You name it. We've asked for everything.
So who are the fish?
I'm Joe Manchin. I approve this act because I'll...
The biggest catch, according to Mr. Coy, is the conservative Democrat Senator Joe Manchin, who famously shot President Obama's cap-and-trade climate bill.
And I'll take dead aim at the cap-and-trade bill.
Joe Manchin, I talk to his office every week. He is the kingmaker, and he's not shy about sort of staking his claim early and completely changing the debate.
Legal declarations show that Senator Manchin has received tens of thousands of
dollars
from ExxonMobil and its trade associations. Keith McCoy names 10 other senators as crucial to ExxonMobil. Senators Mark Kelly, Chris Coons, Shelley Moore Capito, Kyrsten Sinema, John Tester, Maggie Hassan, John Barrasso, Steve Daines, John Cornyn, and Marco Rubio. All bar Kelly and Hassan have taken money from Exxon totaling $117,000. We gave all these senators a chance to respond. None did so.
That is Exxon shocking. Insists. Okay. And, but there it is. So, I guess it's really hard not to see and hear that, according to,
to share
Manchin's, yes.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's right. That's something that Democrats don't typically want to say that about their colleagues in these situations, but Manchin's just so egregious. There you go. And that's Jamie Raskin's wife, is it not?
I don't know if it is.
Yeah.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. Almost positive.
Just a note, Joe Manchin drives a Maserati Levante that gets up to 16 miles per gallon in the city, and the base price is $80,000.
Well, to be fair, he's not waiting in line for anything. I'm sure he sends out his staffers, fill her up. All right, lastly, let's just give you an update on this, on what's going on with the state of a woman's right to choose. I'll cover the Texas thing, and then you can give the where we lead after that.
Sure.
If you recall, Texas passed a law that essentially deputized citizens via the courts to sue any person involved in the enabling of someone getting an abortion after 15 weeks in Texas. Or is it 20?
I think it was 15.
And
It
was 20, I believe. And
15 is the Mississippi law.
Exactly.
It's hard to get all of these theocratic laws. Keep them.
No, I'm sorry. Excuse me. This is 6 weeks after pregnancy. And
okay. Right.
6 weeks after pregnancy, you can sue a provider, a taxi cab, a person who enables an abortion in Texas. You don't even have to be in Texas to sue. You don't have to be a Texas citizen to sue.
That
you
allows just need to be well-funded money groups to aid in this effort.
The advocates of abortion rights went to the Supreme Court before it took effect in September. The Supreme Court declined because they said state officials were not responsible for enforcing the law, that it could not be challenged in federal court based on the constitutional protections established by Roe. Supreme Court, however, in December, said that opponents could of the law could file suit against Texas medical licensing officials who might discipline abortion providers who violate that law. So they sent it down to the Fifth Circuit, which is in Texas. That circuit is a pretty conservative one. The judges in the Fifth Circuit said, we're going to kick it to the Texas Supreme Court to make this determination. And the Texas Supreme Court yesterday, or I should say on Friday, all Republicans shockingly enough, said that those officials, the Texas medical licensing officials, did not, in fact, have any power to enforce the law, either directly or indirectly, so could not be sued. And so this law stands, which has two different impacts. One, it has an impact on the ability of women in Texas to get abortions. Apparently, they've been trying to get around it by ordering pills, abortion pills, through the mail and going to other states. More on that in a moment. It also essentially says that the way you get around violating constitutional rights in a state or effectively taking them away is by empowering citizen vigilantes using the civil courts as a way of inhibiting people's ability to help, aid, fund, perform, in this case, abortions. But I don't see why it couldn't be anything at one point.
Well, and you know, they're also dangling a bounty of sorts. In Texas, it's $10,000 if you're successful in your court case. But as we'll get to in a bit.
There's going to be businesses set up to do this.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be
a profit incentive design inside of the law. That is the whole purpose of it.
People are going to have a job, and my job is going to be to find out who had an abortion.
And if you have an accumulation or if you have like a good amount of capital at your disposal, you can take on these cases en masse. Why not?
Yep. So where else will this end up being a problem? Do you want to talk about Idaho?
Idaho has now passed a copycat law based on Texas's law. It's a bit different. The bounty is two times that of in Texas, and this seems to be a bit more targeted towards providers. This is from, I believe, the New York Times.
Yep.
The Idaho bill differs from the Texas law in some key respects. Texas allows any civilian to sue anyone, whether a rideshare driver or a doctor, who aids and abets a woman getting an abortion after a fetal cardiac activity is detected, usually around 6 weeks, before many women are aware that they are pregnant. It provides $10,000 plus legal fees for successful suits. The Idaho bill, similarly titled a heartbeat bill, allows family members of what the legislation calls a preborn child to sue the abortion provider and establishes a reward of at least $20,000 plus legal fees, at least $20,000. It allows lawsuits against providers for up to 4 years after an abortion. So that's a strong or like a long period of time when they would be able to retroactively sue for damages caused by an abortion, I guess. The Texas law, considered the strictest in the nation, allows no exceptions for women who are victims of rape or incest. The Idaho bill provides an exception but requires women to file a police report or show it to the provider before they can get an abortion. Neither state would prosecute women who have an abortion. Just anybody who aids and abets it, essentially. And the Idaho one is really just targeting providers, doctors, nurses, people, nonprofits that might be trying to increase access to women's healthcare throughout the state.
It also limits who the plaintiffs are to just family members. So that could be mother, grandparents, siblings, aunts, and uncles of the preborn child, they call it. I mean, is it really just a time? I mean, how, like, what about if people masturbate? What about when people have their periods? Weren't these all, I mean,
that is the releasing of an egg. That could be a preborn child.
I mean, aren't you negligent if you allow all those eggs to die?
But say you're in Idaho and you want to go to a nearby state, right?
Well,
maybe you'll be able to get that, but other states are starting to crack down that as well.
One other note about this bill in Idaho, it obviously also allows the father. However, not if you are a rapist. A rapist cannot sue. after an abortion is performed. But I wonder if a rapist's mother or father could sue. Mm. They're a grandparent.
Good point.
Could a rapist's brother or sister sue? I'm the aunt of that child. I want to sue.
And let's be clear, too. The rapist in this case would have to likely be proven as a rapist in the court of law, as opposed to just like the millions of rapes that are unreported.
Right. That's right.
And that's why Idaho says you've got to file a criminal complaint. You got to speak up. If you have any trauma that you've internalized from, like, I don't know, the rape that you just suffered, if you don't document it, it doesn't count. Say it's a family member and you're worried and you have anxiety about, I don't know, bringing a criminal charge against a family member. If you didn't criminally charge them, it doesn't count. Not exempt.
It really is. I mean, you could just look at what it does to rape victims in and of itself. See how barbaric this is for women who do not bring charges are essentially forced to carry to term a rapist child. And again, it doesn't allow rapists to sue, but it could allow the parents of a rapist, because they are grandparents of the unborn.
Yeah, are you depriving me of my unborn child? You depriving me of my unborn niece? I mean, like,
so
the ownership that these like people feel over the reproductive consequences of other women just because they're familially associated with them is just so creepy and weird that I it's hard for me to even stomach.
So the other option, of course, is to seek an abortion out of state. Washington Post reports just the other day, last week, I should say, prominent anti-abortion lawmaker in Missouri. Thousands of residents have traveled to next door Illinois to receive abortions since Missouri passed one of the country's strictest abortion laws in 2019, believes she has found a solution. It would allow private citizens to sue anyone who helps a Missouri resident obtain an abortion out of state using the novel legal strategy behind the restrictive law in Texas. This is going to pass, incidentally. The amendment was attached to several abortion-related bills that have made it through committee and are waiting to be heard on the floor of House of Representatives. Abortion rights advocates say the measure is unconstitutional because it would effectively allow states to enact laws beyond their jurisdictions. But the Republican-led Missouri legislator has been supportive of creative approaches to anti-abortion. Look, here's the thing. You know, like even in that Idaho ban, apparently the Republican attorney general thinks that it might be that the new bill with civilian enforcement would likely to be found to violate recognized constitutional rights. I could bring on every legal expert we've ever had on this program, and not one of them would say definitively that any of these things could be struck down constitutionally. Now that the Supreme Court has basically said, and they all thought that there's no way the Supreme Court can allow this workaround to constitutional rights, not just federal statute, constitutional rights that would inhibit constitutional rights. By simply saying, well, the state's not involved in it. All we're doing is setting up a bounty program that is paid by other people. And you can't attack the courts for doing their job. This is it, folks. This is the way that abortion gets restricted in about 22, 23 states. Now, the Supreme Court heard that case about 15 weeks. And they may also, they may fully frontally attack Roe v. Wade, destroy it, or they may just keep allowing these new laws. We need a legislature in New York or in Vermont or I should say in any other blue state. Start doing this stuff with other. We should do it with speech. We should do it with guns. We should, I mean, it should go on and on and on until we show that you can deprive everyone of every single constitutional right if it's just made into a civil tort proceeding.
I thought the conservatives, well,
don't even bother.
I was about to say HIPAA. You know, we're talking, we're not, no medical privacy.
Yeah, how about this?
Or how about interstate, or how about states' rights, right? If somebody wants to go seek a service in another state, they should be allowed to do so.
How about we empower people? $10,000 bounty. You can sue somebody who you believe is using a fake vaccination card. How about that?
That'd be fun. Isn't there some gun bill in California?
Yeah, that should move forward. I mean, it should be in every state in the country that the legislature can pass it.
Yeah, you want to dance? Let's go.
But this is where we're headed. This is what happens when you give up the courts to Republicans and conservatives. That's it. And the amazing thing is going to be when that gun law comes to the Supreme Court. And we all sit here and watch the Supreme Court figure out, actually, there's a problem with this one. It's written exactly like the Texas one, except you use a preposition instead of a conjunction here. And that's, you know, going to have to go back. But at one point, they're going to show up with a law that is identical, but only changes that one thing. And the Supreme Court is going to figure out some way of saying that that law doesn't stand. Mark my words, it may happen 2 or 3 years from now, 5 years, Tuesday, March 15th, 2022. Keep it in mind. All right, we're going to take a break, head to the fun half. Just a reminder, it is your support that makes this show possible. Advertising ebbs and flows, you can see that. Our YouTube clips ebb and flow. But it is our members who make this show possible for us to do day in, day out. You can become a member by going to jointhemajorityreport.com. And when you do, you not only support the free show, you get the bonus material, and you get the free show free of commercials. Then, you know, every now and then we're going to do some other stuff. You know, I keep saying that, but eventually we'll. Also, speaking of which, Emma, I don't know if you know this, but the Brooklyn show sold out.
I did know this.
Okay.
It happened on my watch.
Very quickly. And but we have live streaming. Did you know that?
I heard that.
And did you know that it costs $12.50? But if you want to get more than 50% off the live streaming, sign up for the AM Quickie. Open up the email that you get when you sign up from the AM Quickie, maybe the next day. And you will find a coupon code that will give you more than 50% off.
Wow.
Somebody who was good at math could determine what it was. I would say probably like 65% off. I don't know. But so check that out. Also, justcoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use the coupon code majority. Get 10% off. Check out our Discord. People want to know, where can I, if I want to donate my tickets to a show or this and that, or I'm curious about this, or I want to help organize something in my, get over 5,000 members on the Discord from all around the country, actually around the world. So check that out, majoritydiscord.com. Matt, what's happening in the Matt Leckian media universe?
Yeah, I am flying solo on Left Reckoning tomorrow night. We're going to be having Carl Bayer on of Jacobin and of a really good Substack talking about ideology and Russia's invasion of Ukraine, all sorts of things like why Carl did not dismiss the idea that Russia would invade and what he thinks that sort of errant forecasting says about the left and what it doesn't say about the left, and some other things like is Putin a communist and that sort of stuff. So Carl's a really smart writer, I think, who's been really smart throughout this entire situation. So I'm looking forward to talking with him tomorrow at patreon.com/leftreckoning. I think we'll have a guest for the post game too, but I don't want to divulge that yet.
Ooh.
And check out Carl's Substack if you haven't. I'm subscribed and I think he has done some really good coverage, as Matt said.
Yeah.
on Nomi's program tonight. She's not, she's feeling a little under the weather. She'll be back for tonight, but she's not going to be here in the fun half. Harvey Kay and Alan Minsky will be on tonight's show discussing a new economic bill of rights. That, we're definitely going to add at least one Justice Democrat. I think mm-hmm. as it stands now, coming out of Texas, we got to wait for the Cisneros runoff. Nina Turner is running in Ohio. Adding two or three or four Justice Democrats, quite helpful getting there. Exponentially more power as they add people, because then they have the opportunity to add more. I don't know how many years is going to be before we get there, but this is the path anyways. All right, quick break. Head into the fun half. 646-257-3920 is the number.
3 months from now, 6 months from now, 9 months from now, and I don't think it's going to be the same as it looks like in 6 months from now, and I don't know if it's necessarily going to be better 6 months from now than it is 3 months from now, but I think around 18 months out, we're going to look back and go like, wow.
What? What is that going on?
It's nuts.
Wait a second. Hold on for a second. Emma, welcome to the program.
Hey.
Matt.
Who?
What is up, everyone?
Nomi Keene.
You did it. Let's go, Brandon.
Bradley, you want to say hello?
Sorry to disappoint everyone. I'm just a random guy.
It's all the boys today.
Fundamentally false. No, I'm sorry. Women.
Stop talking for a second. Now let me finish.
Where is this coming from, dude?
But dude, you want to smoke this,
Cinnamon?
Yes.
Hi, me? Is it?
Yes.
Is this me?
Is it me?
It is you.
Is this me? Hello, is this me?
I think it is you. Who is you?
No sound. Every single freaking day.
What's on your mind?
Sports. We can discuss free markets and we can discuss capitalism.
I'm going to go for a walk.
Libertarians.
They're so stupid though. Common sense says, of course.
Gobbledygook.
We fucking nailed him.
So what's 79 plus 21?
Challenge me.
I'm positively quivering.
I believe 96, I want to say.
857-210-35-501.
One half.
3/8.
9/11, for instance.
$3,400. $1,900.
$3 trillion.
Sold.
It's a zero-sum game.
Actually, you're making me think less of
it. But let me say this.
Poop.
You call it satire. Sam goes, satire.
On top of it all,
yeah.
My favorite part about you is just like every day, all day, like everything you do.
Without a doubt. Hey, buddy, we see you. All right, folks.
It's just the week being weeded out, obviously.
Yeah, Sundial Guns out.
I don't know.
But you should know.
People just don't like to entertain ideas anymore.
I have a question. Who cares?
Our chat is enabled, folks.
I love it.
I do love that.
Look, gotta jump. You gotta be quick. I gotta jump.
I'm losing it, bro.
2 o'clock, we're already late, and the guy's being a dick. So screw him. Sent to a gulag?
Outrageous.
Like, what is wrong with you?
Love you, bye.
Love you. Bye-bye.